Trina and Sharon will be handing you a pamphlet. It's really just it's a devotional prayer that we're going to go through today. And I was debating whether or not I just do this and we just listen to it. But I don't know about you, but sometimes I need to know what's ahead, or I need to know what the person's saying. So you can follow along with us when we do it. And it's actually, and some of you might have already done this, because this is today's Lectio prayer on the app. So maybe you already did it this morning, maybe you didn't. But that's where I've adapted a few different things for today. But we're going to do that together in a moment. So I'm not necessarily going to download or preach to you this morning. I'm really hoping that the words of that song that we sang today, Word of God Speak, would you pour down like rain? Would God's Spirit speak in and through us individually and also maybe corporately? And so there might be an opportunity. There is a portion here, if you have a pen, that we'll leave some silence, or I think there's some pens in the back. I'm not sure if there is any more, but if you don't, but maybe you can make notes. But there will be a portion of just listening, and you can just jot down what you're hearing. So we'll get to that in a moment. Last week, we started this series. We looked at the passage of Mary and Martha, and we had a couple different people jump in and share a few things. And you might have, some of you met my friend Danny Unrah, who's a legend in the Mennonite Brethren Church, and he was here. They were asking. Danny and Lois were here, Diane, and I said, "Well, we'll give Diane a big hug when we see her." And but Lois said something after, when we were talking about the passage with Mary and Martha. We don't really want to always slag Martha off on that, because the what we mentioned is that if everyone's contemplative like Mary, and you don't have anyone like Martha, no one's going to eat, right? You can't, like, and so it was in that moment that we were seeing that that Jesus was saying, at this time, Mary, this is the good thing to do. And the idea that Mary probably might have been the only woman in there, because being a disciple of Jesus, or a disciple of a rabbi in that time, that you would have been sitting at the rabbi's feet. It basically is like you're learning to be a rabbi. And at that point in time, to my knowledge, there weren't any women rabbi. And so women weren't in that. So she was also saying, I'm wanting to learn, and I'm going to break some of the cultural boundaries here too. And Jesus was welcoming of that. And so I remember Danny mentioned something, saying, yeah, it's the trickiness of Jesus, where sometimes you read the text, but you miss some stuff. And this is what Jesus sometimes is tricky for us, because he's wanting us to explore, us to ask questions, us that things aren't just served to us easily. Jesus is always wanting us to be the ones that are exploring and asking questions of the text and of our lives, and what does it mean to follow Jesus. All that being said is, I talked to Lois after, and Lois said to me, this is Danny's wife, and Lois said, I had something to say. I was like, well, why didn't you say it? She goes, well, I don't. And then she goes, Danny talks a lot. And so I'm like, true. And so Lois said, I think that Martha had FOMO. I was like, interesting. I'm like, what do you mean? Martha had FOMO. When she was angry or a little bit upset that Mary was there, she was upset that somehow she didn't think she could be, but she wanted to be. I was like, what another interesting way to see that text, that Mary actually, Martha wanted to be there, but for some reason, she wasn't able to give up that time, or didn't think she could still herself to do that, but it was out of this FOMO. And that's a great way to see it, because what a great way to be able to see, like, wanting to be with Jesus. Anyway, so that was, I wanted to just pass that along, and so it's really helpful when we hear each of you in different ways speak during these times as well. So, because God speaks in different ways through his word, through people, through silence, through impressions, through dreams in different ways, and so we also want to provide opportunity for us to hear God in these different ways. That's what we're going to do. So last week was slowing down our outer life. I don't know, did anyone, has anyone, I will put this out there for you. There's a blank. I think it's really funny that's blank. But if you, there's a devotional for the month in July. Here it is. It's totally blank. I won't. Summer slowdown. It was supposed to have a nice, but it didn't. And I was like, that's even better. It's summer slowdown. It's blank. It's nothing. But when you read into it, okay. It's the busyness isn't distracting you. Although I think Roy got the one that had the top. Oh, he brought it here. Is look at that. It's beautiful. You can all see what you left, what you're missing out on. Just that page. He's going to display it. But there's some great questions in there. There's some, it's fairly simple, but it's asking some poignant questions. One of the things would be, he's asking the question, what would it look like if we slow down by taking away some of those outer distractions away? So one about our phone, maybe the app, maybe it's not our phone entirely, maybe it's social media, maybe you're able to turn, or maybe you could turn notifications off your phone. What does it look like? I want you to die, we're not going to tell you what to do, but there's options for you in here, okay? And so how are you doing with that? You don't have to answer that question. But ask your question. It's maybe a good question. So slow down your outer life. Today we're going to talk a little bit about slowing down our inner life. I don't know about you. Sometimes it can look like I'm slowed down on the outer life. It can look like I'm slowing down, but my mind and my heart are racing. Physically, my heart might be pumping and racing, and high blood pressure because of different things that maybe I'm thinking about, even when I'm trying to rest. Anyone ever have that problem? Might be a few people. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. And so what we're going to try to do is a few practical things today. We're going to look at some scripture that may point to that. But I'm wondering if some of the racing that happens in our minds might be because of worry and different types of worry. Now, worry's not all bad. Worries, sometimes you need to be worried about something so that you won't jump off a cliff, right? I'm worried that I'm going to die. Oh, I'm not going to jump. Okay, good, right? But it's sometimes when the worry is obsessive or is controlling you or is also making it so that you can't be present in the moment with other people. And so that was kind of what we're going to be looking at today. And we're hoping that, and I'm not a psychologist, I'm a pastor, so we're going to look at the life of Jesus. I'm going to provide some opportunity for us that I believe the Holy Spirit may speak into our lives today, that hopefully today you might feel a bit more relaxed and a little bit less worry, and then maybe there's some practices that you can do in the next week that can help you in that as well. So slowing down our life. Today we're going to look a little bit about Sabbath. A few years ago, we did a whole series on Sabbath. Remember that? I don't know if we did a book with Mark Buchanan. I should have had the extra books here. But this idea of resting, and we're working out of our rest. And after, this is a very biblical thing to do. It's the character of God, that God worked so hard, and he created all these things. And then at the end, he looked back and he said, it was very good. He paused, and God rests. And you're like, what? God rests? What does that mean? And so we're going to talk about a little bit about hopefully living out of our rest so that we could hopefully be, the term might be at least, non-anxious presence in the and being present with people that are around us in that way. This quote, I forgot to quote, who I think it's Miroslav Volf is this quote, but he says, practices are essentially belief-shaped, and beliefs are essentially practice-shaping. So, but if you're only believing and you're not practicing what you might be believing, and both and, then maybe we get stuck doing one thing other than the other. Or our practices, we're just go along and do our practices without understanding what we're believing. And so today, we're going to take some opportunity. What if we all prayed just a little bit more? And we're going to have an opportunity to do that. And so we're going to read scripture, the full scripture. Then I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And we're going to leave time and space and quiet for us to rest, for hopefully maybe the Spirit of God speak to each of us individually. Maybe the Spirit of God's going to speak to us corporately. We're going to have time. There's going to be a bit of space for you to maybe jot some things down or think about things. And then when we end, we're going to have an opportunity for some of you, if you'd like to, share with maybe what you've heard as well. So I don't have to, with the show of hands earlier about how much maybe we worry, I don't have to unpack too much of that. So let's read scripture this morning. We're going to look at Matthew 6, 25. I believe we're going to go all the way to 31. In your summer slowdown, I believe it only starts at 30, so, but we're going to go earlier here. So, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? I think Jesus is being funny here, actually. Maybe a bit sarcastic. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And so we're going to take some time to let these words sink in. And I'm simply just going to lead us in this prayer guide so you can follow along, or you could just find a posture that makes sense for you. I'm just lead us in a bit of to breathe together, to slow us down. Guess what? If you fall asleep, you probably need it. So no guilt here, okay? Gracious space. Absolutely, yeah. If you need to lay down, go ahead. It's all good. I heard that laughter from someone, so feel free, okay? But let's take a few minutes just to breathe slow. Sometimes we don't recognize that our outer body is linked to our inner understanding. So let's breathe in. Slowly breathe out. We're going to slowly breathe in. And we can exhale. And a few months ago, we talked about this, and we could breathe in saying, breathe out saying, God, I cast all my cares on you. Breathe out. Breathe in. Because God cares for me. Breathe out. I cast all my cares on God. Breathe in. Because God cares for me. So we're invited to allow the peace and presence of God to invade our lives. as we surrender to God's work of reconciliation and peace in us and through us. Sometimes we forget about the in us. So today we will pray a special Sabbath prayer. God of peace, thank you for your beautiful mission to reconcile all of creation to yourself. May I experience afresh the shalom, the peace of your kingdom, as I look forward to the day when the whole earth is full of the knowledge of your goodness. Genesis 2:1. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. And on the seventh day, God rested from all the work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when God rested from the work, his work of creation. To celebrate Sabbath, rest is to anticipate the completion of all things, the achieving of the goal when God's peaceable kingdom has come in all of its fullness, and when all creation is reconciled to God and is all shalom. Take a moment to think about that, about God's sovereignty in the midst of some of the chaos we're experiencing now. I breathe in because God cares for me. I breathe out and cast all my cares on God. Hebrews 4:9-11. There is a Sabbath rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God, after creating the world. So let us make every effort to enter that rest. To celebrate Sabbath is to affirm the certain hope that shalom is coming, that there will be peace on earth, and on that day, all will be well. So in that knowledge, I settle myself and relax my shoulders as I listen to God's word in a few different translations, and I entrust my life to God's faithfulness. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. So I settle myself and I still my mind and breathe slowly as I hope in God's promises. Let go. Cease striving. And know that I am God. I choose to settle my heart into the quietness of God's love. And God says to us, rest. Stop fighting. And know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Jesus says these words, therefore I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow seed or harvest grain or gather crops in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they? Who among you by worrying can add a single moment to your life? Therefore, stop worrying about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. And so we seek first the kingdom of God. God, may we find rest today, not in complacency, but in love, in your love. For you have reconciled us to yourself and given us this ministry of reconciliation. May we, your people, be faithful to your calling, this calling. Now, in the words of St. Augustine, I ask, look upon me, O Lord, and let all the darkness of my soul vanish before the beams of your brightness. Fill me with holy love and open me to the treasures of your wisdom. All my desire is to know, is known to you. Therefore, perfect what you have begun and what your Spirit has awakened me to ask in prayer. I seek your face. Turn your face to me and show me your glory. Then my longing shall be satisfied, and my peace shall be perfect. I'm going to take a few minutes just to ask a prayer. What are you hearing? Is there some of God, the word of God speak? It might not have poured down like a rain. Maybe there was a dribble or a drop today. Maybe there was a nugget, an encouragement, maybe a challenge. Take some time to ponder that and answer that question. God, be first in my heart today. Let me see all my daily needs through the expectation of your loving care. So may this day bring Sabbath rest to my heart and to my home. May God's image in me be restored and my imagination in God be restored. May the gravity of material things be lightened and the relativity of time slow down. May I know grace to embrace my own finite smallness in the arms of God's infinite greatness. And may God's word feed me and his Spirit lead me into the week and into the life to come. Amen. Okay, so that is something we did as a community. Sometimes that might be a little strange in a different way. Sometimes it's a good mix-up instead of someone coming and telling you things. maybe some of you had an opportunity to rest. If that alone happened, that was well worth it. But I'm wondering, is there, during that exercise or that practice, is there anything that caught your attention other than mush? Ugh. Yeah. If you know, you know. So I just name it so that's done. Yeah, anyone? And sometimes those things are quite close and personal and we don't want to share it. But maybe there's something you might want to either for yourself or for the community. Yes, Sharon. Yeah. Okay, hold on. I'm going to repeat that. Yeah. Dump out the junk dump drawer and get rid of the things that are cluttering your life. Yeah. That you don't need, that are cluttering it. Yeah, don't need the exactly that are cluttering your life. Mm-hmm. Good word, yeah. And what else were you going to say?
But then keep the things that bring you life.
Mm.
And be reminded of what was lost or forgotten about.
Oh. Keep the things that bring you life and be reminded of what was lost or forgotten about.
Be delighted, filled with joy.
Mm. Yeah, 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 yeah. Beautiful. Sharon, thank you for sharing that. That's great. I have a man drawer. and I realized I think I have several. So that I need to, and I did go through one about a month ago, and it was like, and I was like, why? What is, why? Why do I have a AA battery that doesn't work? Why am I keeping that there? Why is it there? And what is this piece of plastic that's broken off? I don't remember what it's for anymore. I was supposed to glue it, so I don't know what it is. Yeah. Or what, yeah. And then sometimes there's these precious thing. Oh, that pin from my dad. Oh, my goodness. Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, our own life. Yeah, we. Thank you, Sharon. Yes, Bev.
My mom and dad passed away some years ago, and I had the job of cleaning out their drawer in the kitchen.
Okay.
Where they saved things.
Yeah.
And they come from the time of the Depression.
Mm.
And my mom had half a pair of scissors.
Okay, half a pair of scissors. So she had a scissor.
Yes. And she, just to give you a little bit of who she was, when paper towel came out and tinfoil, she rinsed it and hung it to dry and used it again and again.
Yeah.
But the 23rd Psalm, I listened to a few nights ago, and that still waters the peaceful, the rest that comes.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful. And the pastor that was doing the sermon on that song asked somebody to be a volunteer in the audience or in the congregation to, if they had a cell phone, go up and look up their screen time. And one man offered to screen time, and he had 7 hours a day.
He was shocked, probably didn't know. Yeah. Check out your own.
Everybody that has a cell phone, check there and see if you can beat them. And
that sometimes, though, that is the reality of the clutter in our lives. And
I brought out a discussion in my house later with four generations.
Wow.
And we talked about what we did with our spare time when we were in the school grounds.
Right.
And it took us back to, I remember playing jacks and skipping rope.
Right.
We didn't even have a television.
Right.
The kids, like the other generation, it was this, and then came Mario, and then came other things.
Yeah.
And crossbows and skipping ropes, they have gone the way of hula hoops and things.
Yeah. Well, and the idea that it's a good tool, it's a good connecting, but then there is, and there's how much information now, we don't even know how much information is real on there. But also the real information, I don't know if we're made to know everything that's happening in all the world all the time. And that feeds us, and it just gets us anxious and we can't even live our lives how we're supposed to live even now, right? So thank you, Bev. Yeah. Any other thoughts on this? This is good. Well, yes.
I have worries about my office that is full of airplanes.
Okay.
And I worry when I've gone, what's going to happen.
Okay. Yes.
This one here knows where they're going to go.
Okay, there you go. So you've worked that out even now. So you're worried about, well, you're not here, but what's going to happen to those things that are good, that are precious to you? Yeah. Okay. Oh, wow. Beautiful. You have to bring one in for us to see one time. Thank you. But Lucas will have put it in good hands for you. Yeah, but sometimes those things, they do consume us, right? It's meaningful for us. And how is that? Is it going to be meaningful for someone else? Yeah. Any other comments? Yeah, Brian. Right. Yeah. Right. Yes. That's a good word. The gravity of lighten. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brian. Yeah. That's why for me, too, lately, in the later years of my life, now, as a 54-year-old, sometimes for me, it's it is the sometimes the prayers of other people make more sense for me, or it's like, oh, that's it. And then I take them on with my own. And that's what the book of Psalms is. Psalms is God's prayer book for his people. And for like millennia, we've taken on these words. And then there's some people like the people at 24/7 prayer that have thought this through. And that's why I can almost pray this every Sunday, and I think it's going to be meaningful for us. It's a liturgy, so to speak. So, yeah, we don't, it doesn't mean that those airplanes are worthless. No, they're worth something. But how do I lighten it so I can be peaceful now, knowing that it's going to be, it's helpful for someone else later. Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Brian. I'll say one more thing that caught my attention as I was doing this. I was thinking about the Mary and Martha passage and going, oh, I wonder, I wonder if you can kind of mesh them to, it's because I read the word mush, okay, that I, the typo on the thing, but I was like, mush, and then I thought, oh, what if Mary and Martha got mushed together, right? What if Martha was able to do the work in the kitchen and having a non-anxious presence and going, oh, I'm just so happy for Mary. How good is that? Next time, maybe we'll swap it out, right? And then maybe Mary would be like, oh, after this, I'm going to help you. I'm going to stay right to the end. I'll finish everything out. No big deal. How beautiful would that be? What if you, like the mushing of those, of that two together, I think maybe that's it. The contemplative life with the practical everyday things that we have to do because we, you know, the images, we have to eat, so we gotta do stuff, and we need to also be restful. And so I think that's really the, when we're looking at this series, we're trying to figure out what does it look like for each of us in our context to be that. How can I be present with my kids when they're telling me about their day, whether that's hard or good, or how can I be present with them and maybe not worry about all the stuff that happened in my life right at that moment? Will be, but yeah, how do we do that? So maybe that's the what Jesus is maybe looking for in that sense. Because if they all were just sitting at more like Mary, then it'd be like, no. Some of you are like, no. And I don't know, I think this passage too, like Jesus isn't saying, I think the worry here is like, don't be consumed by it. Like what Brian said, don't be consumed by it. Because we all have to worry a little bit about what you're going to eat, right? Like we got to sort that out. But don't allow that to consume you. Don't allow like what you're wearing, what you're like consume you. Don't like, and you can put it in our context. This is an ancient book, right? And what does it make, what does that look in our own context? So good. Well, I hope that was helpful for you. And I also think, I'll just come back to what Bev was saying. So check your screen time. You don't have to tell anyone. Just check it. And then here's the question that, and again, I don't want to shame or make any kind of like, so check your screen time. And then my question is, can you take 10 minutes away from that screen time and do something like this a day? You know the answer to that. And it makes it easier. You could actually do it at the same time. So part of your screen time could be using the app, the Lectio 365 app. I know Sharon, myself, we've gotten in a habit of just like doing, and it's like you hit the play and then someone else is reading to you, mostly like just soothing voices, reading God's word and challenging us on things. And there is, if you want to know more about that, in the back on the table, there's a QR code that'll push you to, if you, it's also a family one. So there's stuff that you can do with your kids as well. And so there's the Lectio 360 app on our board that will direct you to it. And on the website, on our church website, if you go to resources and prayer, you go there and that'll take you right to the Lectio 365 app. So we're trying to also equip this in you. So check your screen time and then see if you can carve 10 minutes out of it to find some centering prayer or just to find something that will help slow down your inner life. Jesse and Ben, come on up. I'm going to pray as they lead us in this last song, and then I'll have a benediction for us. God, thank you for this community. Thank you for each person here. That they would, in a sense, carve time out of their day, out of their weekend, to be present here, to be challenged, to be encouraged, to look more like Jesus, to be encouraged to walk in the way of Jesus. Thank you for those that had the courage to be able to speak and say. Thank you for what we glean from the wisdom from each of the people today. And we thank you that your Spirit speaks to us through your word. And may your word look like Jesus. May we decipher that. As Brian says, sometimes the word of God can also direct us in a different path. And that's really what the enemy did to Jesus. And so, yes. And so may the word of God that we receive look like Jesus. And give us the opportunity to be able to identify that. Work in and through us. Help us slow down our outer life. Help us slow down our inner life. Not to just slow down, but to be people of peace so that we can offer this reconciliation that you've given us to those that are around us. Pray this in your name. Amen.